This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We've long known about horrific episodes of lynching in the South, but the story of widespread racial cleansing above and below the Mason-Dixon line has remained almost entirely unknown. Time after time, in the period between Reconstruction and the 1920s, whites banded together to drive out the blacks in their midst. They burned and killed indiscriminately and drove thousands from their homes, sweeping entire counties clear of blacks to make them racially pure. The expulsions were swift in many cases. It took no more than 24 hours to eliminate an entire African-American population. Shockingly, these areas remain virtually all white to this day. Based on original interviews and nearly a decade of painstaking research in archives and census records, Buried in the Bitter Waters provides irrefutable evidence that racial cleansing occurred again and again on American soil and fundamentally reshaped the geography of race. In this groundbreaking book, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Elliot Jaspin has rewritten American history as we know it. We are honored to welcome to the program Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elliot Jaspin. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy and we appreciate your time. Elliot, tell us first, what was going on in your life when you decided this is a book I've got to do?
Well, it was about a year into the research, and what is hard to understand at first is that when I first stumbled across this, I had absolutely no idea of what I was looking at. All I could see was that there were these sudden drops in the black population. And then I started to tease out these stories about that the whites would riot and drive all the blacks out. But it wasn't until even a couple of years that I started to realize that what I was looking at were racial cleansings. It was at that time, and when I started to realize the magnitude of this, I mean, there were literally hundreds of them, that I said that this deserved more than just, you know, a newspaper story. This was a whole book. And exactly when I made that decision, I just don't remember. It was just sort of something that after a while it was just obvious that this had to be more, that this deserved far more than just 1,000 or 2,000 words in a newspaper.
Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elliot Jaspin is my guest. And Elliot, this went on for many decades, and it, not just in the South.
Right. The earliest I found was 1864 and the latest 1923. And it occurred in places, well, there was two in Indiana. The book details about a dozen, but, and this is important to note, I only talked about racial cleansings that occurred countywide and that were successful, which is to say counties remain white or virtually all white today. But there were many more. For example, in Ohio, Marion, Ohio drove out all its blacks. In Nebraska, Lincoln County, Nebraska drove out all its blacks. But I didn't include them in the book because eventually blacks moved back into these communities. I had to limit it in some way so that I could get my hands around the subject.
Right, right. This is really amazing because this is something that, you know, we've sort of gotten used to hearing about this kind of thing going on in the Third World or in some other country, some other time. But to know that not only did it take place here in America for decades, but that some of these counties are still all white.
Yeah, and I talked to people who, for example, in Comanche County, Texas, I talked to a black family that lived there from the 1980s through to about 2000. And, you know, they describe how whites tried to make life as difficult as possible for them. And, in fact, to this day, if you're black and you drive through that county, chances are pretty good you're going to wind up with a police car behind you, making sure you don't stop, that you just go on through. In other counties, for example, in Indiana, longtime resident said, you know, you stop here on your way to someplace else, not a problem. You stay here for a few days, we're going to be nervous. You try to live here, we're going to run you off.
That is amazing. Elliot, how did it usually happen where, you know, thousands of African-Americans are driven out of a county, for example? How you could sort of picture how it might happen with one family, whether they, you know, burn the house down or accost them in the street and, you know, literally put them on a train. But how did it happen that thousands of people could be driven from a county?
Well, you have two things going on. One is, there would typically be an ultimatum delivered from the white community to the black community. So, for example, Comanche County, Texas, about 400 whites rode into town, went from house to house, and said, you know, you have 24 hours, well, actually, in case of Comanche County, you have 10 days to wrap up your affairs and leave. So imagine you're, you know, living in a house. Suddenly, 400 armed men appear at your front door and say you've got to leave. And that was backed up by a campaign of terror. So in, for example, Forsyth County, Georgia, where over 1,000 blacks were driven out in the space of about a month to 2 months, the whites would dynamite homes. They would shoot into homes. In one case, no one was at home, so they took the family cow, staked it out in the front yard, and burnt it to death as a warning. In other cases, they would, for example, Marshall County, Kentucky, the Knight Riders descended on one town, Birmingham, Kentucky, rounded up all the blacks, took about a dozen down to the river, spent an hour torturing them. When they were done, they said, we're going to be back in 30 days, and you'd better not be here. And the word spread throughout the county, and the blacks fled for their lives. So it was a campaign of terror, and it was also an ultimatum.
Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elliot Jaspin, his new book is Buried in the Bitter Waters. Elliot, what is the title? Where does the title come from?
It's from Zora Neale Hurston, one of her books about, in which she says, I've been in sorrow's kitchen. And we thought it really pretty nicely encapsulated what we were seeing. Because the other thing which is, I was just staggered by, was that this history is virtually unknown. In fact, when I would call historians and ask them, you know, was there a racial cleansing in your state? And I would tell them I had seen all these black population collapses in the census. They would immediately begin talking about the Great Migration. And they would confuse what had actually happened with the Great Migration, because they knew nothing about this.
How much of the explain the Great Migration to folks, how much of the Great Migration is actually a result of this forced expulsion?
Well, they're two very, very different things. What happens is when World War I starts, the flood of immigrants coming in from Europe to the United States is ended, because of the unrestricted submarine warfare. So the northern industrialists who had used these immigrants in their factories needed another source of labor. And that source of labor became blacks in the South. And so during World War I and after, this is what's called the Great Migration, where literally millions of blacks moved from the South to the North to work in factories and slaughterhouses and what have you. So that's the Great Migration. But what we're talking about here is something dramatically different. This is where documented cases of where the whites would riot and simply order all the blacks to leave, and within 24 or 48 hours. which is totally different, totally separate from the Great Migration. And a lot of this occurred well before the Great Migration. So, for example, Lawrence County, Missouri, about 1,000 white men lined up outside the Black Quarter in Pierce City, Missouri, and just started firing into the homes until the people ran and setting the houses on fire.
Elliot,
and that occurred in 1901.
Elliot Jaspin, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His new book is Buried in the Bitter Waters, The Hidden History of Racial Cleansing in America. Elliot, are there any documented cases where the black population fought back or tried to stay?
There were a couple of isolated cases where somebody would try and fight back. So, for example, in Pierce City, one of the leaders in the black community, he watches as the mob starts to enter the black section of town, and he starts shooting at them. Well, he's murdered on the spot, and his house is set on fire, and I think it was his father or father-in-law was burned to death along with him. The fact of the matter is that resistance was really suicidal, and it rarely happened because the black community was relatively small, and the white community had not only numbers, but they had the force of the government behind them.
Are there any instances where the federal government tried to step in to prevent this happening, or were they just oblivious or turned the other way?
The federal government I could not find any role whatsoever. Occasionally towards the end, for example, Mitchell, North Carolina, the governor there tried to prevent the racial cleansing, and he brought in the state militia. And as long as the state militia was there, the blacks were safe. Eventually, he pulled the state militia out, and at that point, the blacks ran for their lives. It's good to remember that in this period from 1864 to 1920, federal government really had a hands-off policy in terms of race. And so they were not a factor, ever.
Author Elliot Jaspin is my guest. Elliot, aside from the story itself of the fact, and this is so, this period of American history and what really happened in some of these counties is so underreported and just not known, generally speaking, and isn't taught in our schools. Aside from the bigger story, were there any fine points or anything that really surprised you in your decade of research that still sticks with you as sort of a ha 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 moment?
One of the things which is just I'm not sure it's an aha moment, but it was incredibly sad to me. In these communities, the whites, after the racial cleansing, their initial response was that this was a real selling point for the community. And so, let's say in Harrison, Arkansas, they put out a pamphlet extolling the virtues of Harrison, Arkansas, and one of the things they said in the pamphlet was that the town has neither mosquitoes nor Negroes. After a while, though, they began to realize that they'd really done something pretty awful. And so what they attempted to do was to obliterate their history. And so they would create these fables in which they would try to explain why the black population left without taking any responsibility whatsoever for what happened. And so the result was that they destroyed their own heroes, because in a majority of these racial cleansings, there were white people who fought bitterly to protect the black community. And, I mean, these were just truly, truly heroic people. And their stories have been pretty much lost. And it, as a result, it's a result of the white community trying to rewrite the history and, in the process, taking away their own heroes. Very sad.
Elliot, thank you so much for joining us. Elliot Jaspins, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His new book is Buried in the Bitter Waters, The Hidden History of Racial Cleansing in America. Elliot, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.